Welcome to another broadcast of Celebrating Truth with Dr. E. Faye Williams, Esquire, on the Artist First Radio Network. Dr. Williams currently serves as National Chair of the National Congress of Black Women and President of Natural Health Options. All past shows can be downloaded free on demand. Visit the archives for Dr. Williams and Celebrating Truth at artistfirst.com. And now, here's your host, Dr. Williams.
Thank you so much, Tony. Hello, I'm Faye Williams, your host, and welcome to Celebrating Truth. Celebrating Truth is brought to you by the National Congress of Black Women. We're the number one organization dedicated especially to the needs of black women and their families. We are delighted to bring Celebrating Truth to you every week. There is just a lot that we have to talk about today, and we want you to stay with us for the entire hour. There is an African proverb that says, it is the women who hold the sky up, and that's what we try to do in the National Congress of Black Women every day as we work. We invite you to visit our website at www.nationalcongressbw.org. That's nationalcongressbw.org. And you'll find lots of great information there. If you'd like to join our organization and do what we do in our communities and your community across the nation, let us know by calling us at 202-678-6788. Maybe you'd like to be a donor to some of our community service programs. You can do that, too, at www.nationalcongressbw.org. And when you come to Washington, D.C., we want you to stop by the Capitol Visitors Center and see Sojourner Truth. We placed the memorial of Sojourner Truth there 2 years ago, making her the first African-American woman with a memorial in the Capitol. And while I'm on that subject, we just celebrated the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial here in Washington, D.C. yesterday, and what a great time we had. Great music, great speeches, just great all around. We had a wonderful time, and I hope you have an opportunity to see it. C-SPAN has a link for you to see it in case you haven't. You can see the whole program. Now, to our listeners, we encourage you and all of your friends to please join us as members. And when you look around the country and you think about community service at its best, we want you to think, that's the National Congress of Black Women, because we truly are women who are making a difference. We've got a lot to talk about today, and we have with us a very special guest. We have Ms. Vera Thomas from St. Louis, Missouri, and we're going to be talking and continuing our conversation on capital punishment and specifically on the case of her son, Reggie Clemens, who is on death row in Missouri. And, of course, just like in the case of Troy Davis, there is perhaps even more reasonable doubt about the guilt or innocence of Reggie Clemens. So we'd like to welcome you to our show, Ms. Thomas. Thank you very much for being on.
I want to thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to come on and your listening audience.
And I also want to say, Ms. Thomas, Dick Gregory, who you know is totally opposed to capital punishment, will follow you as a guest today. He has been involved in the case of your son for a number of years, and he's going to be following you talking about his opinions on this case. I just wanted you to know that. So we'll be on with you until about 6:30. Then Mr. Gregory will be coming on, and we're going to be saying goodbye to you at that time. But I want to give you as much time as you wish to explain to our listeners what is happening with your son, Reggie Clemens.
Yes, Sam. This is a case of happened April 4th, 1991. Involved five persons, five suspects, as the state would reference it initially, three blacks and two whites. However, the three blacks wound up getting the death penalty in this case, and the two whites, of course, there were deals made with them or they became state witnesses. Mm-hmm. My son was 19 years old at the time, and this is the least thing we ever anticipated. He had only finished high school about a year and was planning on starting up a small business. So to go all the way from your room and planning a career to death row has been quite a leap for him and for our whole family. However, we have endured spiritually and with support of the community, and the community support has been very important. and very critical for us. It has been a 20-year journey that we have been on in fighting this case, not just for our son, but fighting for justice, period. Once I realized what the system was really about, because I just assumed when people got the death penalty that they had had a trial, possibly a fair trial. But, man, I had no idea that the system was as flawed as it is. So at this point, I began to understand that it's more of a matter of who lives and who dies in reference to the death penalty. And there are a lot of factors involved with that, such as what caliber of the attorney that you can afford, the political arena, the geographical location. It's so many factors involved.
You mentioned that only the three blacks got the death penalty.
Yes, ma'am.
So this would bring up an issue perhaps of race.
Yes, ma'am, because that is true. And his jury consists of 10 whites and 2 blacks. And in St. Louis, at least, it's 50-something percent blacks in our city.
Wow.
So that alone is disproportionate.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole trial was just riddled with flaws. We had police brutality and forced confession, even in court when the arraignment took place. Reggie's face was still swollen from the beating that had taken place by the police.
Well, let's go back and tell our listeners exactly what it is your son was accused of, and then let's go to what happened thereafter.
Yes, ma'am. He was accused of 2 counts on a murder count, and which they really never did prove that he murdered anybody. They can't even tell you he murdered anybody. They go from one person to the next.
As a matter of fact, it's my understanding the prosecutor conceded that Reggie neither pushed the women nor planned the crime. Am I correct?
Ma'am. That's true.
And go right ahead and tell us exactly about what it is he's accused of, though I just wanted to get that part in about the prosecutor conceding that point.
Yes. They accused him of accomplice liability, but yet they can't tell you specifically what did he do.
He just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yes, ma'am. And the other witnesses, the 2 white witnesses who became state witnesses, were the one that have decided what they say he did.
What is it they say?
There's no proof.
What is it they're saying that he did?
Well, they try and say Tom Cummins, which was the 20-year-old that was with his cousins. Actually, they went to the bridge that night, Tom Cummins with his 2 cousins.
These are the young women, right?
Yes, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow they wind up falling off the bridge, and Tom Cummins, the cousin, told like 3 different stories. And, in fact, he was even booked, but, of course, that didn't last very long before his parents hired an attorney. At that point, that was the end of that.
And Cummins is the one of the white young men, right?
Yes, he is.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he is.
And, okay, and these 2 girls, they were sisters, am I correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Mm-hmm.
That is correct.
What was it ever determined why they were on the bridge with Mr. Cummins?
They were separately. Reggie, who was 19 at the time, Marlon Gray, who was 23, and these are black males, Antonio Richardson, who was 16, went together, and Daniel Winfrey, who was a white male, went over to the bridge with the 23-year-old black male. And they were over there, like people go over there, I guess they go over there and party or something to that effect. It's a hangout sort of where young people go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they wound up over there. They said they saw these people on the bridge initially, and then they had left. So then the story breaks the next day that there are some girls that had been thrown from the bridge, and they had a suspect. So we're assuming at this point that everything, you know, has been decided as far as the case was concerned, and they had caught the person responsible. But that was not the case. This was on a Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday evening, the police came to my house, knocked on my door, and I never forget the knock on that door, and told me that they wanted to talk to my son, that he had been implicated in something. But they didn't tell me it was a Chain of Rock case.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, he'd been implicated in a case and they wanted to talk to him. So at that point, I said to them, well, don't we need an attorney? Do I need to talk to an attorney? And they said, well, no, because we talked to him, everything panned out, he'll be back home. Mm-hmm. Well, he hasn't been back home since.
Mm.
In fact, by the time I was able to see him again was the next day, mm-hmm. and his face was badly swollen at that point. He was taken into custody like maybe 3 or 4 o'clock that evening, and I didn't hear from him. I didn't hear from him at all. He never was able to make a call.
Mm-hmm.
I finally had someone finally call me back by 10:30 that night saying to me, well, we got some bad news, and they rattled off all these charges.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the beginning of this nightmare.
And he had no, absolutely no physical evidence that linked your son to that crime.
No, ma'am. All of the circumstantial evidence that
they used. No fingerprints, no DNA, no hairs, no fiber samples, nothing.
No, ma'am. There was no knife, no guns involved in the case.
Well, now tell me about this Mr. Cummings that you said the police arrested Thomas Cummings, one of the white men who was the cousin of the two girls. What exactly was his story? And
they booked him. He told 3 different stories.
Mm-hmm.
He said that some people had attacked he and his cousins. Then he said that he had approached his cousin because they had been like, kind of like dating, and
he was dating his cousin
for the past year. They've been seeing each other on a frequent basis.
Is mm-hmm.
the term he was using. And then the next story, then he said that he approached his cousin, and she fell off the bridge,
mm-hmm.
and her sister jumped in after her.
Mm-hmm.
Then the third story he told was that, well, he didn't jump in the water at all. Well, actually, when the criminologist in court checked his hair, there was no river residue in his hair.
Mm-hmm.
And this chain of rock bridge would have, like, probably a 90-foot fall.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a chain of rocks that's farther down that he would have had to have gone across. Well, he claimed that he swam, he did backstrokes, he did side strokes, he went in the water. But yet mm-hmm. still, facts of the case are not proving this out.
And so he had no injuries after doing this. The girls supposedly died, I guess they're saying, from drowning.
Yes.
But yet he went over that same bridge. He had no injuries. And
right.
His hair was clean.
Right.
Dry, neatly combed, as I understand.
Yes.
And the police and the Coast Guard were skeptical of his story
yes.
when they heard this story.
Yes, that
so
is
what,
true.
What happened to all that skepticism? What happened thereafter?
Well, once he got down to headquarters, immediately, of course, his father shows up. And from there, they hire an attorney.
Mm-hmm.
So after that, of course, Tom Cummings' records and things were purged, and he became a state witness.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a 15-year-old white male who had come with Marlon Gray in the car that they had come to the bridge in, and he became a state witness also.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that left the 3 black males receiving the death penalty.
Mm-hmm. Well, has your son run out of appeals? Is there anything left that can be done or maybe that listeners can help with? Or exactly what's going on right now? Does he have an execution date or what?
Oh, God, it has been so much has happened since that time there. Actually, yes, we did run out of appeals. The last appeal we had was for against lethal injection in 2009,
mm-hmm.
and our attorneys actually had filed this appeal in court.
Mm-hmm.
While it was pending in court, he got an execution date, which was quite a surprise even to the attorneys because they were not anticipating that he would, you know, get execution with an appeal in place. But however it did happen, I'd like to say, too, is that there were issues that have come up since that time with DNA issues we have now. Because here we had gross prosecutorial misconduct. The prosecutor was found in contempt of court by the same judge, trial judge, that mm-hmm. told him not to use Charles Manson or Gacy in Reggie case, but he did it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
We asked for a mistrial 3 times, and the judge refused to give it to us. So then we have the attorneys that we had who were married, got divorced, one of them moved out of town. So they were not able to effectively represent Reggie. And one of the attorneys...
So what were these? These were court-appointed attorneys?
No, ma'am. These were attorneys that we had paid for.
You actually paid them?
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. And also one of the attorneys, again, had moved out of town. And now the attorney initially later gets disbarred.
Mm-hmm.
So that was another issue in the case.
Yeah.
So with the DNA issue now coming forth, we have this prosecutor who just a year ago said that he had found a rape kit. He had never seen this rape kit before on the case.
And that was one of the charges, rape and murder.
No, ma'am. Reggie was never charged with rape and murder. And this is what's really not making any sense.
Mm-hmm.
They never charged him with rape. They never charged him with felony restraint, any of those things. They charged him with murder but didn't charge him with rape. But mm-hmm. the prosecutor argued rape to the jury.
Is that right?
Yes, ma'am. And the jury never knew the difference.
Mm-hmm.
They never knew the facts because what happened was after Reggie was sentenced, the prosecutor dismissed rape and robbery charges, and we have a document to that effect showing that those charges were never proven.
Mm-hmm.
So Reggie has continually asked the court to give him a trial on this, give him a speedy trial so he could prove that there was no rape involved. And up to this point, they have refused to do that.
Nothing. Well, let me just say, those of you who are just joining us, we're talking with Ms. Vera Thomas, the mother of Reggie Clemens in St. Louis, Missouri, and we're talking about all of the reasonable doubt in his case. Just a few weeks ago, if you remember, we were talking about the Troy Davis case and the reasonable doubt there. As I've read the case, I've seen, as I said, even more reasonable doubt in Reggie's case. So we certainly hope that there is something that can be done. Ms. Thomas, what year, do you remember when Dick Gregory first got involved with your son's case?
Oh, that was quite a few years ago. I probably said almost 15 years ago. It's been quite a few years.
About 15 years
ago.
Yes,
it's been quite a few years since Gregory got involved with the...
Okay, well, as I said, to those of you who are just joining us, Mr. Gregory will be on at 6:30 to talk a little bit more about the whole issue of death penalty. And it's just, you know, absolutely awful that there could be so much reasonable doubt, as in Reggie's case. Is Reggie your only child?
No, ma'am, he's the youngest. He's the youngest of seven.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And like I said, it's just been totally devastating.
Mm-hmm. And I think you started to explain, but I asked the question about whether or not an execution date has been set.
Okay, what did happen to us
mm-hmm.
in 2009? As I said, we had an appeal in place
mm-hmm.
Investigating leaked injection issues
mm-hmm.
when he did receive a date. That was June 17th. That he did receive a date.
2009?
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
And we only had 30 days. So he was put on a 30-day death watch.
Mm-hmm.
Just shackled down, and then it was a terrible experience.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine.
It was only like 12 days we had left
mm-hmm.
as far as the execution was concerned. You can actually look in the room where you're visiting with
mm-hmm.
persons in the death watch area, and you can actually see the door
mm-hmm.
there that they do executions behind.
Mm-hmm.
And however, it was 12 days. We only had 12 days left, and he got a stay. There
mm-hmm.
was a lot of public outcry in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people got involved, and all of this helped make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got a stay at that point. After that, Reggie was appointed a special master's judge by the Missouri Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
And that judge has been reviewing the case now since 2009 and investigating the various issues and things that we have been bringing forth.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time in all these years we've had anyone to review this case.
Wow.
Because we had a bad attorney.
Mm-hmm.
We got procedurally barred on just about every level.
Mm-hmm.
However, I'd like to say, too, in 2002, a federal judge reviewed his case. Because we were thinking, first of all, it's so ridiculous. I don't think they're going to really pursue this case, but they did. Mm-hmm. So we kept thinking when we get to federal court, mm-hmm. that's where we're going to get some relief. Mm-hmm. Well, we did. In federal court, mm-hmm. a federal judge took Reggie off of death row because of juror issues.
Mm-hmm.
2 years later, the attorney general at that time had him put back on death row
mm-hmm.
in 2004, even though there was a judge at that point that vigorously dissented and said that he was troubled by the case.
Well, so are we. I mean, just in the small amount that I know about it. But
yes,
what? Because we have just a few more minutes, and,
yes.
and I am sorry, but Mr. Gregory
okay.
will talk about the case. Also, tell me about some of the activities that are going on in an effort to help to free your son. I know that there's a Miss. Is it Jamala Rogers?
Yes, Jamala Rogers.
Yes. And what is she doing? And then how can others perhaps help in this case?
Well, what we've been doing is putting petitions, been doing petitions for quite a while. We accumulated several thousands or more, quite a few petitions.
Mm-hmm.
We're still collecting those in case we have to present them
mm-hmm.
to the governor.
Mm-hmm.
And we've also had several organizations, Amnesty, ACLU, and the NAACP, and the NAACP. Quite a few organizations have gotten involved to support us in this
mm-hmm.
fight with the Reggie's case.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in the process of organizing, preparing for the March 5th. Because what happened, the date for his hearing was changed from November the 7th
mm-hmm.
to March the 5th, 2012. Yes, ma'am, 2012.
Mm-hmm.
So we're now preparing for that with a lot of activity and talking with the different law schools and speak in various places about Reggie's
okay.
case.
Okay. Well, if our listeners wanted to help, say, with that petition, how would they do that?
Well, they would send it to justiceforreggie.com.
I mean, go to that website, Justice for Reggie, R-E-G-G-I-E.
Yes, ma'am. Justiceforreggie.com.
The petition is there. A copy of the
yes.
petition is there.
Yes.
People can just click on a button and sign it.
Yes.
Okay.
And we also have some activity going on in regard to freeing Reggie. There's activity taking place with various organizations on that also.
Mm-hmm.
So there's out on the website YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
There's blogs and things being put up out there to bring awareness to the case and to the justice system issues, period, because
mm-hmm.
there's a lot more Reggies out there.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and that's something I believe that we're going to have to shut down.
Well, I think thank you so much, Ms. Thomas, for joining us. Our prayers will be with you, and we'll certainly encourage all of our listeners to go to the website, www.justiceforreggie.com, and I assume they can learn more about the case on that website, too?
Yes. Yes, and the Free Reggie campaign
mm-hmm.
that is also taking place at this time.
Okay, also, listeners, you can Google Reggie's name, Reggie, R-E-G-G-I-E, last name Clemons, C-L-E-M-O-N-S, and you can find out a lot about this case, too, but I certainly urge you to sign that petition. Thank you so much, Ms.
Ma'am,
Thomas.
Can I just add this one blog?
Yes, ma'am.
It's Free Reggie Clemons. now.blog.com.
I'm sorry, Free Reggie Clemons.
Now.
.blog.com. .blog.com.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much. And as I said, our prayers will be with you.
Thank you so
and
much.
And we'll certainly all sign that petition. Thank you so
Thank
much.
Thank you for your support and your help. Thank
all
you.
All right.
Sure.
We're going to be going to a break, and when we come back, we'll be talking with Dick Gregory about the whole issue of the death penalty and his involvement with the Reggie Clemons case.
Yes.
We'll be right back.
And thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Now back to Celebrating Truth with your host, Dr. Williams.
Thank you so much, Corey. We are back with Dick Gregory, and we've just been talking with Reggie Clemens' mother, Ms. Vera Thomas, and now with Dick Gregory to continue the case of Reggie Clemens, who has been on death row in Missouri for quite a while. There's a lot of reasonable doubt in his case, and of course we know that Mr. Gregory is in opposition to the death penalty and has been involved with the Reggie Clemens case. How are you this evening?
I'm fantastic, and just Ms. Thomas, how are you?
Actually, Ms. Thomas is off. She's just left, yes.
I just hate saying that the parents have to go through.
Yes.
When you sit, especially when you see the evidence, you know, not the type of evidence that you can say, my boy would never do that, but when you can see the evidence, when the prosecutor even talks about, you know, what is this?
Yes.
And so consequently, I think we marched for like a month. And got the attention. You know, one of the good things that's happening now is, you know, the black voice on radio.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you looked at the Troy Davis, that had gone on for 3.5 years, the big push that we saw, before NBC and the mainstream picked it up.
Yes.
And so consequently, when you have, you know, like the Al Sharptons and the Joe Madisons and you, when there was a time when these many black folks, and then you look at NPR and, Pacifica Radio, and you look Mark Thompson, this had never happened before. George Wilson, when you got these folks that's out there, and TV One and Radio One, you know, so all at once the black folks, we usually the last ones to find out about something, because we don't hear it until it's almost time. And so again, I just say thanks to you that you can pick up the phone and put all your research together. This case is very important, and I think what we need to do is call Ben Jealous, head NAACP, and the folks you interviewed not too long ago, Amnesty International.
Mm-hmm.
Because, see, once they get involved, see, this here complements the Troy Davis.
Well, you know, that's a brilliant thought. And we've just had, you know, the day, October 14th, I believe, against the death penalty, like a national, international day against the death penalty.
Yes.
And many of them have gotten involved, of the ones that you involved. One of the things Ms. Thomas asked us to do was to help with the petition campaign, because that is what, you know, got him off death row at one time. Of course, they put him back on, but at least he has a hearing coming up, so there's hope there on March 5th of 2012. So we can certainly ask everyone possible to do what Ms. Thomas asked us to do, and that is go to www.justiceforreggie.com, justiceforreggie.com, and we can all, that's something very easy that we can do is
yeah, that's for the folks that's listening, but I wouldn't handle it that way. There was almost 1 million-plus petitions coming for Troy Davis.
Mm-hmm.
That's an organization already put up there. Okay?
Yes.
That's already put up there. So what I would suggest for Ms. Thomas to do is to have a conference call with all the players and say, here's what we have, because it might be somebody up there that's not familiar with this case, and put it all out there and say, now, and then we have a target date that we call, and then it go out and it will come in a couple of weeks. We have a target day to say, well, let's gear it up and let's have it ready 2 weeks before Christmas or the week before Christmas. And I think, and then get the press behind it. You know, this is, you know, people feel different on Christmas. And so that's what I would like to do, and I will call her and see, and then we will call the NAACP and the
Amnesty International,
and then put a conference call and say, okay, here's where we are. They already have the machinery, and one thing they promise is they're not going to stop this. They're going to keep going to clear Troy Davis. And I can't think of a better way than have a case like this to hit them back. I'm sure the people in the park all over the world, what percentage of them there because of the Troy Davis case?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I mean, they hear, beyond the shadow of a doubt, there's doubt. Now we gear up now and pump this Reggie case that they can hear and they say, wow, this is worse than the other one.
That's right. And, you know, in his case, you find the classic examples of race. For instance, there were the three blacks and two whites involved. Only the three blacks got the death penalty. The yep. others turned state's evidence. The two white young men turned state's evidence, and, of course, they got off.
Yep.
There's just something basically unfair about that, and we've seen evidence of ineffective counsel and police brutality. His mother was telling the sad story of how the next day after her son was arrested that she saw him all beaten up and bruised and, you know, this forced confession. But even the prosecutor has conceded that Reggie didn't push those women off the bridge,
yes.
nor did he plan the crime. They're just saying he was an accomplice, and yet he gets the death penalty?
Yeah, well, you see, here's where Ms. Tom is lucky. This has always happened, huh?
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't have voices like you, huh?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have shows like this about truth, huh?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have radio stations owned by blacks, huh?
Yes.
We had disc jockey shows owned by whites, and you better not deviate and put something in there.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's altogether different. And so there's a new consciousness out here now with these young folks, and all you got to do is present them. I mean, very seldom I'm shocked by anything happening. Man, I was shocked at Troy Davis. I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
It was so many people out there that were saying, wait a minute, you know, there's too much doubt. Now, remember, all we hear and unsophisticated people hear, you have a right to a trial.
Mm-hmm.
They very seldom hear, and you have to be proven guilty beyond a reasonable, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't say did you do it or not.
Mm-hmm.
You had to be proved. And so we got to look at the proof they had with Troy, and it wasn't there. And we do the same thing here with Reggie. So I think, you know, and it can work better now than it would even when things start changing, because we got the Internet and we got a new consciousness out here now. Okay? We got a new consciousness out here now. And there's so many people that just didn't believe that you, we always thought it was an accident, you know. Oh, they didn't have this, they didn't have, but all of them follow the same pattern. Coercion, violence, you know, threatening folks to testify against you and all of that. And so, and I'll be honest, I'm survived, he survived so long. I don't mean just knowing blatantly what they're doing to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you come in, and what you end up doing, you steal somebody's youth, huh?
Yes.
No basketball, no football, huh? No going to the movie, none of that. And you just keep getting wore down and down and down. And so I cannot thank you enough for being right on top of this. And to be honest with you, as close as I was to that trial, and so many others, I wouldn't have known this was coming up had you not called me and told me. And so this is what I'm saying, that we have a good chance now, coming off the Detroit Day, we have a good chance to eliminate, huh?
Yes.
To eliminate the death penalty altogether. Because when you looked at the Troy Davis case, there was winners and losers. Not the policeman's mother, who's happy that she finally got her day in court. Not Troy Davis' family, who lost. No, the winner was China. The loser was America. I dare us to ever again try to lecture to China or anybody else about human rights after the world just finished watching what we did here. And that's a hell of a price to pay for racism. And one thing America gonna find out, that little racist stuff you could do, you know, it's like a father tampering with his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as long as behind closed doors as bad as it is, you're still safe. But when it comes out in the light, huh? When it comes out in the light, then the whole game changed. And that's what we're able to do now. And with the Troy Davis, which opened up the door, you can't, it's like being born. Once you come out your mother's womb, you can't go back. And there was a new birth on the 21st of September when they executed Troy Davis, with the whole world watching, looking at the facts, looking at the evidence, and everybody said, I can't believe it. I did a radio show for 2 hours right after those two executions, the one in Texas of the one pertaining to James Byrd. Mm-hmm. And people was just, you could hear it in their voice. They wanted to talk, but they didn't know what to say, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the type of thing, if you come and somebody told you that, you know, and you say, this is you must have been left something out. Mm-hmm. Something is left out. But we all walk step by step by step. And so, again, I say that we'll follow up on this and put that whole coalition together.
And we're just about out of time, but you were talking about a new consciousness. And I know last week we were at the U.S. Congress for another matter. You happened to have run into a congressman. What was his response to what you've been doing against the death penalty?
Well, he got off the elevator. I was getting on to come up to the hearing. And he came up to me and said, Dick Gregory, can I hug you? And he hugged me and he says, I'm Congressman so-and-so, and he says, I watch you stand in front of that jail in Huntsville, Texas, and I watch the man who have committed probably one of the most brutal crimes, racial crimes, in the history of America, a white man, and two others who brutally killed James. Head came off, his body was dismangled, and you stood there, and he said, and before that, I really was against them executing Troy Davis. But I thought this white trash needed to get it, and then you taught me that the death penalty is wrong. And I just want to tell you, after witnessing that, I'm no longer for the death penalty.
Wow. That's powerful. Well, we thank you for all of the work that you do, and I hope that our listeners will remember that this is a case where there is even more reasonable doubt than there was in the Troy Davis case. This young man, in his case, there were no fingerprints, no DNA, no hair, no fiber yeah. samples, no nothing. And yet, the two white men involved, one of whom had was the cousin of the two girls who admitted that they went there for various things, that he'd been having sex with his cousin. There's a rape kit, I'm told, that just finally, but it was never tested. I mean, I think that could have been proven. While Troy was not, convicted of the rape, it certainly would have something about what was going on that bridge when Troy, Reggie just happened to have been there. I think we just didn't have enough investigation going on there. But I thank you again
for
coming on with us, and I know tonight you've got something very special you're going to be doing. You want to tell us about that?
Yeah, I've been running so hard. I've done so many shows. I can't remember. They're picking me up in a few minutes, and it's, mm-hmm. it's CNBC.
Mm-hmm.
And
is it CNBC? MSNBC. MSNBC.
Yeah. And that's, mm-hmm. and that's for the
Larry O'Donnell Show.
Yeah, the Larry O'Donnell Show. And
yes.
It's 8 o'clock our time, East Coast time,
mm-hmm.
and it'll be 7 o'clock Central time, and on and on.
All right. Well, we'll be right there listening, and thank you so much again for being with us this evening.
Thank you much. It's my pleasure.
We'll be right back, and when we come back, we'll be talking with Keith Tucker, and the subject will be green. He's got something special to tell us about green dinners and his projects going on across the country. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Celebrating Truth with your host, Dr. Williams.
Thank you so much, Corey. This is Celebrating Truth. I'm Faye Williams, your host, and we are here every Monday, 6 p.m., and if you missed any of our shows, just go to www.artistfirst.com. Click on Celebrating Truth, and that will take you to the page where you can hear our archived shows. We in the National Congress of Black Women have just completed the 27th Annual Awards Brunch in Washington, D.C., and what a great time we had. Our leaders and our members from all over the country were here. So plan to be with us next year when we will again meet in Washington, D.C. the Sunday morning, September 23rd, 2012, following the Congressional Black Caucus. And we have a lot of great information on our website, so check us out at www.nationalcongressbw.org. And now my friend Keith Tucker from all the way up in, what is that, the Northwest, the Pacific Northwest. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. Good to be talking with you today, Dr.
All right. Well, it's great having you on. So tell us about this new project you've got going on.
Well, you know, it's called Pursuit of a Green Planet, and it's a film project, and you know me from radio and from the hip-hop community, and I've kind of graduated to this new film project that we're doing, and it really tackles issues that that are very important to this country and to young people, and that's the health issues that we're dealing with, you know, diabetes, cancer, heart attack, stroke. We're dealing with these issues in the film. So in the film, I am going on a total vegan diet, and I'll be taking on this vegan diet for about 9 months. And as you know, I've assembled some of the top naturopath doctors, holistic health people, and scientists from all around the country, and they're going to help lead me on this journey as I find out, you know, where our food comes from, how it's processed, how to live healthy, and how to live in balance with yourself and the planet.
Sounds like you've been listening to Dick Gregory. I know this is the kind of thing that he supports, that he's done for many years. He's talked about health, and I know that you've met him. Did he have any influence on you and what you do?
Oh, yes. Oh, most definitely. He's a mentor of mine and many people in the hip-hop community that are vegetarian and vegan. And I think, you know, the first advice that he told me, and it wasn't even about food, it was about sleeping. I had been not sleeping good. He said, well, did you have, are you sleeping in full darkness? I said, no. He said, well, you need to sleep in full darkness. So,
you know, my doctor just told me that recently, too.
Yeah, and ever since he gave me that advice, I went and got some, you know, total dark out shades, and I've been getting good sleep ever since then. So I have to thank my good sleep to Mr. Gregory there, and I think everybody, you know, that's listening should at least get a good night's sleep, because, you know, that's part of health as well, too. You know, your body's at rest, and it needs to, you know, gather up the strength to take on the next day. So that's part of, you know, healthy.
Well, you know, Mr. Gregory talks about the three main causes of death, you know, premature death, and they are sleep deprivation, water deprivation, exercise deprivation, and those are things that we can control. That's what's so awesome about it. We could control these three things, and yet those are the things that most of us kind of let it go and, you know, promise to do it another day. But let's go back to your pursuit of the green planet. Now, once you do the film, what will you be doing with the film?
Well, we plan on distributing the film nationally and worldwide, and we're going to be working on those agreements after we get the film done. You know, my tallest goal for this film is to influence people to think about what they're eating and to think about their health. So if we can get this film in educational institutions, if we can get this film in movie theaters, on DVD, wherever we can show it, that's where we're going to show it. Because, you know, this is a mission that we're on. They just said, and they released this statement from the public health just a few weeks ago, that actually young people will not outlive their parents.
Wow.
And it is a devastating situation that we're dealing with because, you know, when you and I were young, there wasn't a thing called youth diabetes. I never heard
of
that.
Well, I was young longer ago than you. But that was very kind of you to say it that way.
Well, you know, and so now, you know, youth are dealing with these things. They're dealing with youth diabetes. They're dealing with youth allergies. They're dealing with all these issues that shouldn't even come up in one's lifetime, let alone when kids are young and living in their most abundant time of their life. So this is threatening not only to our community, but it's threatening to the future of America, because you have all the health care costs that are associated with this. You have, you know, we need to create jobs. Well, how are we going to have jobs if you don't have a healthy workforce to take on these jobs? So it goes into so many things that we're dealing with in this film. And, you know, I'm always an advocate of doing positive things within the hip-hop community. And so that's really how we attract young people to this project, because we want to let young people know that hip-hop is more than just rap music. Hip-hop is a culture. It's a worldwide culture, and it's one of the top leading influences on our youth on the planet.
And you're using it to raise our consciousness about our health. I think that's a rarity, and that's saying really a lot for both hip-hop and for you, because we know that young people do listen, do like hip-hop in general. So how do you plan to, say, advertise it to young people? I mean, are you going to be doing shows? Are you going to be traveling at all? And tell us a little bit about that. How are you going to get the word out there other than through the film itself?
We have done something what I'm really, really proud of, and we've created a thing called the Youth Hip Hop Green Dinners. And basically with our green dinners, we go into communities with young people in it that's never had a vegan meal before. We're going straight in the hood, and we're saying, hey, here's a vegan meal, here's hip-hoppers, here's some education, and here's how you can lead a healthy life throughout these green dinners. So we're in almost every major city in the country right now, and we're looking to grow and expand it, and that's kind of how we go and interface in the community. We have these green dinners, we introduce young people to their first vegetarian or vegan meal, and we talk about the film project, and we talk about health, and we talk about all these issues, and some of the MCs, they come and perform, and they talk about those issues as well. So it's really something that I'm really proud of, and, you know, it's something that comes out of the activist vein in me. You know, I really want people to get this message, and I want this film and this whole project, Pursuit of a Green Planet, to help change people's lives. And so that's why we're doing it. That's what motivates me every day when I get up.
Now, you know, a lot of people don't do vegetarian, or, you know, they won't be a vegan because they think the food isn't going to taste good. What would you say to that?
I'd say you need to come to one of our green dinners, or you need to go check it out, because I thought the same thing, Dr. Williams, when I started this project. I was like, okay, I'm not going to eat that nasty tofu square and some salad and some nuts for the rest of this film. I don't think I'm going to be able to make it. But when I checked out the food and all the different options that they had, it just totally blew my mind. So, you know, it is a different change than eating your local fast food restaurant type of mentality. But once you get into it, they tell me that it becomes normal, and it becomes something that keeps you healthy and sustains you. So, yeah, so, you know, currently, I wanted to mention something, too. Currently, we just started our 30-day fundraising campaign. And if you go to hiphopisgreen.com and click Show Your Support, it'll take you right to our campaign page, because we're actually raising funds for this film, going directly to the people for the funds. And so I really like that. And when people contribute, they're going to get books, they're going to get DVDs, they're going to get CDs, they're going to get gifts and perks from all the top people that are associated with this film from around the country. These are experts in vegetarianism, health, veganism, and just living your life healthy. So
I'm supporting what you're doing, and of course I know that Mr. Gregory supports that, so I hope I hope that doesn't hurt you.
No, not at all.
Okay,
so I'm glad to have you guys, too. I wanted to thank you for that, because you've been always supportive of everything that I've been doing. And, I know C. Dolores Tucker will really love what we're doing right now. So it's a very blessing to have you on board, and Dr. Gregory. And we want more people to come on board, too. We want you to call some of your heavy hitters about what we're doing, you know, and get them to support it, because this is about the youth. and this is about health. It's a really serious issues that we're dealing with because people are really dying out here, and so it's something that is very, very serious that we need to deal with.
I give your website again where people can go and find out more about what you're doing and also donate to the cause if they wish.
It is hiphopisgreen.com, hiphopisgreen.com. And when you go there, just click the link that says show your support, and it'll take you directly to our campaign page. And like I said, it's we've got a really nice video on there, and it explains everything about what we're doing and all the perks. And we want people to support this film that really believe in the health of our communities. And if you're part of the American Diabetes Association or the American Heart Association, whatever type of organizations that we have out there, we encourage organizations to come, schools, educators, and people that are in the health and just concerned citizens, come and support what we're trying to do. And if we bring a green dinner to your town, we definitely would love to invite you out, all of our contributors around the country.
Okay, and we'll be happy to announce them when you have those cities all set. And I'm just, my mouth is watering for some great food because, as Mr. Gregory says, even meat doesn't taste like anything if you don't put seasoning on it, but you can make some great dishes when you use seasoning. So I hope our listeners will venture out and begin to use some different kind of seasonings other than just salt and pepper.
Yeah, there you go.
So many great ones out there. Well, thank you so much again, Keith, for being with us today, and we look forward to our vegan meal here in Washington. I might even go on that diet with you. Have you started your 30 days already? What is
No, I haven't. I'm going 9 months, but this is really crazy. I haven't started yet. Day one that we start shooting is day one that I go on a vegan diet. So this is total reality that people are going to see. For the first time, they're going to see an African-American go on a vegan diet and see all the trials and tribulations I go through and see my body get back to health. So I'm about 40 pounds overweight right now, Dr.
But you're going to make it. Okay, Keith, yep. Thank you so much for being with
thank
us
you.
Today. And for those of you who joined us at the last minute, if you're in the Washington, D.C. area, you're also invited to join us at Arena Stage on this Sunday, October 23rd, to see Trouble in Mind with a beautiful stage right in our neighborhood. We often see great plays together, so join us by calling 202-678-6788. That's to see Trouble in Mind. It's the last day of the show. And there are a lot of awesome things going on in our community. We have to celebrate our own truth because we either get left out of mainstream media or too often we find ourselves denigrated. So we encourage you to tell your story here on Celebrating Truth. Let us know what your story is. We'll be happy to help you tell it. Let us know if you've got a great story, and we will have you on Celebrating Truth as a guest. Again, just call us at 202-678-6788 or email us at info@nationalcongressbw.org. That's info@nationalcongressbw.org, and we'll be happy to help you tell your story. Celebrating Truth is brought to you by the National Congress of Black Women, and we invite our listeners to join us as members or as donors. Again, just go to our website at nationalcongressbw.org or call us at 202-678-6788, and you can look at our website and see all the wonderful projects we have, like College for Kids, Young Ambassadors, College for Teens, and many, many more. Also, you can read some of my weekly news articles there, as well as firsthand information from the White House. We do put that information up often. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at C-Truth Producer and join us on Facebook. Go to Facebook.com, type Celebrating Truth, and you'll find us there. And remember to check out our National Congress of Black Women and the great work that we're doing all around the country in some 70 cities around the country. While you're on our website, listen to Urban Radio 2000, and we know you'll find some great music there. If there's no chapter in your town, just call us at 202-678-6788, and we'll be happy to get you started. That's it for Celebrating Truth today. We'll see you next week when Ms. Clem Clark will be handling things for us. I'll be down in the Gulf Coast doing some other things, trying to help poor and underserved people get paid. Again, join us next Monday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and have a blessed week.